Welcome to the 2014 Healing with Horace Telesummit, where we've gathered a group of our field leaders to empower equine facilitators to expand your partnership with Horace. Our goal is to give you new concepts, tools, activities, and inspiration to take your healing work with Horace to the next grandest level this year. I'm your host, Dr. Jen. I'm a psychologist and founder of the Healing with Horse Collective, and I live and play with my healing herd of 7 horses outside of Denver, where we offer a deep healing equine work at the Happily Ever After Holistic Healing Horse Ranch. Today, I'm thrilled to have one of the early influencers of our field, Kathleen Barry Ingram, as our guest facilitator. Kathleen is going to be sharing with us how horses can help us find the space of relationship in motion, where we can balance being with doing for awesome outcomes. So welcome, Kathleen. It's always an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you, Jen. I really enjoy being with you, too.
Yeah. Well, before we do dive into today's topic, let me tell everyone just a little bit about you. Kathleen is a Tucson, Arizona-based consultant, certified coach, and facilitator of equine-facilitated learning and psychotherapy. She brings over 30 years of experience as a psychotherapist and addictions counselor to her work with horses. She has an individual mentorship program in equine-facilitated learning, and this year will be presenting and teaching in Australia, England, Canada, and the U.S. Of course, many of you know about Kathleen because she co-founded the EPONA Apprenticeship Program with Linda Kohanov and worked with her until 2007. And in all of Kathleen's programs, relationship with self, horses, and others is a pivotal aspect. So, Kathleen, I know this topic is near and dear to your heart. You've been thinking about it for a very long time. So why don't we get started by you telling us a little bit about this concept. What is relationship in motion, and why is it important to facilitators?
Thank you, Jen. Well, as I have been listening to the work and watching the work and being involved with it, I'm so grateful for that, for Barbara Rector, first of all. She's the one that introduced me to it a long time ago, 20 years ago. I keep looking at what I've learned myself, and then what I see sometimes missing, that people miss sometimes in their daily lives, and that is when I want to get a job done, whether it's with my husband or my child or I'm working with a horse or a client, sometimes when I want to get a job done, I drop the heart connection, I drop the relationship, and I get into the doing. And I see this in our field also, where as years have developed, and I worked with Barbara and then with Linda, what I saw was that we were kind of chunking down the work and kind of going back a little bit every time to slow it down, to look at, you know, our own boundaries and also look at the relationship, the reflective work and all that. And what I saw people doing, though, was that is when they started to work with the horses in what we term the active realm can work in our field, and when they started to do riding on the back of the horse, they sometimes got into more of a doing, and they dropped the relationship that they had established in the reflective, which is all about relationship.
Right.
And so what I also noticed was that, because, you know, last year my talk was all about limbic lessons and the connections and what happens with us as beings when we interact with the horses. And what I also noticed was that the facilitators were also missing the opportunity to really help someone stay in what I now call the head, heart, and hara when they were doing an active session, and then helping them translate that into their daily life. Probably about, gosh, I think it's been over 10 years now, I was working with some of my former students with Lisa Merle, and she was showing us this leadership, this leading exercise, which is the first time that I saw this exercise, and now I've adapted it and called it the head, heart, and hara. But I wanted to give Lisa credit because she was the one that I saw that with at first.
Great.
Yeah. And then as I've been reflecting back on my own experience with horses, I always tell people I didn't necessarily come to this work through the barn door. I came through the psychological door.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to learn a lot. I wasn't a person that had a lot of experience with horses before I started to do this work. I always loved them. I rode them. But I didn't really have the experience that someone like yourself might have had. And just the other day, I was remembering the very first session I had with Barbara Rector, and it was with a white mare. And I remember talking to Barbara about this mare before she took me into, I think it was a round pen or an arena, I can't remember. And she said she was having difficulty with her son. I think she was separating from him, and he was, you could hear him calling from, way across the other side of the property. And I remember saying to Barbara, oh, I can relate to that. Now, I didn't think that much about it at the time, but my daughters were teenagers then. And there were some different things going on in their lives.
Right.
Anyway, so she had me go in. I don't think we did any formal body scan or anything like that. She just wanted me to have the experience. And she gave me a lunch book, but I didn't really know what to do with it. So I went into this arena. Well, yeah, it was an arena, I think, actually. I went into this with this horse, and I just walked up to her and started talking to her about what was going on in my life. And I didn't know what I was doing, really, but what was happening was she and I were connecting to that limbic connection. Didn't have the words then.
Right.
And she joined up with me. I didn't know that word either then. I mean, this was 20 years ago. And
right. She
started walking with me. And we walked all the way, probably a serpentine pattern, all the way around this pretty large arena. And when I got done, Barbara goes, what did you do? I said, what do you mean? She said, she doesn't do that. She doesn't join up like that. I said, oh. Now, it reminded me when I was thinking about it that when we have people come to us, they're in beginner's mind just like I was that day.
Sure.
But what I did was I related to her, and we had that limbic connection. We had a resonance, what Siegel calls that limbic resonance. And when we had that resonance, there was something about these two beings that were in sync. So then about 10 years ago, I was teaching another student, and she was an older woman who was very relational, didn't know that much about horses, and she was going in and working with another mare, and she was doing everything, quote, wrong, everything. We were trying to teach her how to do active work. I mean, that was the goal, that she was
right. going to
be a facilitator. So she got in there, and she started to work with this horse. She had the lunch with him in the wrong hand. She kept walking in front, putting herself, her body in front of the horse, all the things that we tell people not to do.
Right.
And guess what happened? That horse totally listened to her heart and listened, and probably the vision that this woman had, even though she did everything wrong, and it was perfect. And there was another student sitting fairly close to me that started to say something to this woman, to help her. She was trying to help her. And I remember just looking over and fairly firmly just putting my hand on her knee and said, not now. Because what I realized is that it was the relationship this woman had that was allowing her to have this connection with the horse.
So it sounds like what you're saying, Kathleen, is that very early on you had these powerful experiences of realizing that, yeah, the power is really in creating this relationship resonance, and from there things are possible. But in real life, we often get busy with the doing once we have a goal, and we kind of forget to have that relationship resonance first, which is what allows things to flow smoothly. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And then I was telling you when we talked, I guess about a month ago, Jen, about a person that I worked with in England. His first name is Hugh. He told me I could say his name. So Hugh was in a training program that I do with I Feel International. That's the program that Sun Tui has in England. And he is a vet who came to work with Sun Tui about a year and a half ago with severe PTSD. His story is on her website. So like I said, it's out there. And he is the first vet that has gone through the training program, the other program she has called Dare to Live, that is actually in the facilitator training program. And I've known Hugh that long because he's come to workshops that I've done. And so I've watched him over a year and a half learn about horses, learn more about himself, get his confidence, et cetera. So I'm there, and this is a training program. So one of the other the instructors were working with teaching the students how to facilitate an active round pin session. I don't think I need to describe that too much. Probably most of our listeners will understand that. But it's a free lunging session.
Yeah, just say the point of an active round pin session so that
people
know what
that
is.
Well, the active round pin session, okay, is free lunging with a tool, a lunge whip. And what you're doing is the point of it is for the person to learn how to be in balance and get the horse to move in the round pen. Whereas in a reflective session, there isn't any goal or point particularly. But in an active session, the person is going to get in there and move the horse.
Okay,
so,
great.
Okay. So in the session, another student was facilitating Hugh, and she was doing as instructed, setting the session up for him to get in there and to visualize how to move the horse and with some of the tools that he had. And he'd been doing this and practicing this for over a year and a half. So he knew how to get this horse, who he had a very significant relationship with, to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he got in there and he demonstrated everything he was supposed to demonstrate. And when he came out, Barbara Murray, who was one of the other teachers in the program, said, "Hugh, what happened?" And he said, "Well, you know, I went in there, I got the horse to walk, trot, and canter, and this is what I was supposed to do." But she said, "What happened to you and your relationship?" And he went, "Oh." So we gave him an opportunity to go back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back in, and this time he stayed in his heart. And it was so much different. It was easier. When he came out, we said, "You know, Hugh, what was it like?" "Well, it was so much easier. It was just like it flowed, and it was a dance." So I asked him, I said, "Can you give me just a few words that you want to take away around this session?" And he said, "Yes, I found my corporal's heart." And this was a man that had been a corporal in the service in Bosnia, whose job was to go in and dismantle the bomb. So you can imagine when he had to get in to do a job in the service, he had to get in to do a job and he had to get it done, and he could get it done. But by finding his corporal's heart, what he was saying was, "I got the job done, but I did it from my heart."
And it sounds like when he's coming from his heart, that it flowed, it was more satisfying, there was ease and grace to it, there was a way that it felt better for both of the participants. So on one level, on the level that means a lot, it was a lot more successful, even though on the first time he got the job done, but it just didn't feel so good to everybody involved. Is that right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking when he said that, I thought, I've heard that before. So I did a little research when I got home, and I found out that during the American Civil War, when the soldiers were having what, you know, was called, you know, combat fatigue, and now we call post-traumatic stress disorder, you know what it was called? The soldier's heart.
Mm.
Did you know that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Yeah. So in this instance, what I felt that Hugh did was he healed many, many generations of soldiers by having that experience with Coley, with the horse, by the way, that he really helped to heal that.
beautiful. And if a soldier can learn to lead with heart, like you said, because they have very serious life and death actionable, you know, consequences, you know, what does that mean for the rest of us as a role model to find that place where we can lead from the balance? So, yeah, maybe you can talk to us a little bit about finding this balance, because there's the doing and there's the being and then there's the head, heart, and hara. So talk to us about the importance or how you play with this, with the head, heart, and hara pieces.
Okay, so would you like me to describe the leading exercise that we do that I call the head, heart, and hara?
Sure, it might make sense either way. If it makes sense to just describe the three communication centers first and then tell us how to play with that, that might work.
Okay. All right. Again, Lisa Merle was the one that I saw this first. It was in Vermont, and I think it might have been 10 years ago, but anyway. And what it was that you set it up, and what you do is you, first of all, you need to make sure that the horse understands what's going to be happening, because when you set it up with the person, there's going to be some incongruency there. So I always make sure I go talk to the horses about it, and I also know that the horse is going to be comfortable with some of the confusion that might be going on with somebody. I guess I should say that, okay? So
okay,
what
good.
You do, yeah, is you the goal of the exercise is to have people go through the three different centers separately, the head, the heart, and then the hara or the gut, the power center, the, you know, below the belly. Below the belly button, and then you integrate all three of the centers. So I always tell the horse that all three centers are going to be integrated later in this leading exercise, and I tell the clients that right away too. That kind of helps a little bit with some of the anxiety they might be experiencing.
Sure, because we're actually practicing sort of what it feels like to be not totally congruent. So we're kind of preparing everyone for that
experience.
Yeah,
and what do we talk about is how the horses really show us that we're incongruent. So, you know, you don't normally want to have somebody be in that state, but for this exercise, you do. So that's why I always tell them.
Right.
And then what you do is you'll do a little guided imagery about someone just being in their head. And what I say is it might be difficult for you just to be thinking about this and maybe visualizing it, but don't put this any other place but in your, you know, your brain and your head and in your visual field. And then we have them lead the horse. And usually what you'll do in this exercise is I might be facilitating and I might have a horse handler in there preferably that will be there to help this person. And then they're going to lead the horse just from their head. Now, I've done this a lot in workshops, so the people in the workshop are outside watching this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then
can I ask just real quickly, do you mean, when you say lead, is the horse actually on a lead rope or are they free?
Yeah, you put them on a lead line. And, you know, and you can do it in either an arena or in a round pen.
Okay.
Okay. And you just have them go around like one journey around the round pen.
Sure, one lap.
One lap. That's a good word. Thank you. So you just have them do it once. And then you have them come back, and then you just check in with them just briefly. You don't want the whole story, but how was that? Oh, that was uncomfortable, or I didn't like it sometimes, or, well, that felt familiar. I might hear that too. Okay? Then I say, all right, so this time we're going to have you just go into your heart, and I'll take them into that, and I'll say, I want you just to feel your heart, open up your heart, and think about just how much this horse might mean to you and just really feel that and stay in your heart. And then we'll do the same thing. And so they'll go around the round pen. And if you have a horse handler with you, they're there just to sort of kind of stand on the same side and kind of guiding the horse without trying to interfere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This would be important if you're working with somebody that didn't have much experience with horses.
Sure.
So then you bring them back and you ask them again, how was that? Well, that felt good, or I'm used to being in my heart, or that was really, you know, whatever they say. You don't want a whole story. Then you have them go into below their power center, which is below your belly button.
Do we also think of that as solar plexus? Yeah.
Yeah, or the hara, or it's called the dantian, you know, different different language. And then you have them just think about, you know, powering through, you know, how will you do that? And, of course, you use your whole pelvic area and you use your legs, and, you know, people can really feel that. So you might take them into that and ask them just to get the job done. That's a get the job done part of ourselves, right?
Right.
Get the job done. Yeah, get it done. Okay, so then they go in that way. Okay. And again, you ask them just a few, you know, ask them just a few questions. And then you have them balance all three areas. So then you say, okay, now this time you're going to go through and think about, you know, the visual, the connection that you're having with the horse, and then also getting it done. And stay in all three of those centers, keep them balanced. And if you start to feel that you're more in one center or the other, just take a little breath, pause for a minute, and come back into alignment with all three centers. What happens is that, like the experience I talked about with you going back in and working with the horse actively, is what happens is the person will come back and they'll go, oh, my God, that was so much easier. The people from the outside will be breathing fuller. The horse will be in a better space because everything is balanced. And what I found is that if you can do that exercise before you take somebody that maybe has never been in an active round pen situation into an active round pen experience, if they can do that, then even if they don't have experience doing active work, they can do it because they've done that.
So it's a great way to sort of prep somebody and help them be prepared to do active round pound work. But, yeah, how else do you use it? It sounds like you think of it in a couple of ways. It can be used as an assessment tool, right, as a way to sort of help people feel into where do they typically go. Talk to me a little bit about that.
All right, yes, we talked about that, yes. You can kind of find out from people when you get back, because after they've done the integration, that's when you have more of a time for them to discuss what it felt like for them. And what they find is where their go-to places is when they have to get a job done. Because you do set it up and say, this is something that, you know, if you're leading a horse, you want to get the horse to come with you, right?
Right.
So, and what you'll get is quite a bit of aha experience that the person has. Again, we're doing experiential learning. They go, oh, my God, that's what I do. You know what? I do that when I go to work. People say I do that. They say, wow, you're so kind and you're relational and we really feel like you care about us. But, boy, when we've got to get that job done, you really just disconnect from us. And the person will go, oh, yeah, I do. I do that. And so you can help them by suggesting that maybe next time they're trying to get a job done at work or maybe get their child to do something at home, that they actually think about being balanced in all three of those areas. And they'll find that they get engagement and they get consensuality where they, and before it might have been a power over type of thing.
Sure. So it sounds like it's a wonderful place to start raising self-awareness about how we're showing up in the world when we have something to do. And talk to me a little bit about that connection and disconnection piece. I know that you're good at sensing that and helping people to notice that. So maybe you could talk to us a little bit about how to become aware of that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, no, I know. I'm just I'm just feeling into my own body and thinking what I feel in my, I guess because I'm doing my body scan and I'm feeling into my body when I'm watching somebody work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using my own body as what I call the sensing device. And I'm not always accurate, but if I feel a disconnect, like say in my heart area, it might be a disconnect in the person's heart area when they're working. So
mm-hmm.
I might just say, are you balanced? Or where's your heart? Something like that. And then probably 9 times out of 10, the person will go, oh, yeah, and they'll get back into alignment. It helps them to get back into alignment. I just was thinking of another person I worked with, and she was a very heart-centered person, but she had a really hard time getting anything done.
Uh-huh.
She had a hard time, you know, formulating ideas and goals, and she had she didn't have very much energy in her solar plexus or in her hara to actually get her business going. And for her, she had to learn to put more power down into the lower part of her body and keep it there.
Right, but I love about, I was just going to say, what I love about this exercise is that first it's a great assessment, but then it really helps people start to play with finding that balance. And so it's a very useful practice for people to use to then work on what they've noticed so that they can really create that balance, right?
Yeah, and I remember one man that I worked with, he really got it. He says, wow, I get all these great ideas, and I really think people should just read my mind. And he goes, and they don't. And then what he did was he said, but what I noticed is if I stay connected to my heart, then they might ask me some more questions, you know, and then we're communicating more, so then that's a consensuality. And then he said, then we're actually able to get the job done. I believe
right.
that all really, really good leaders, this is what they naturally do.
Right. Now, I love this, what you were talking about when I asked you the question about how can you help? How do you help the people notice what's going on? And you talked about using your own body as a sensing device. And so as a facilitator, it sounds like you would need to know for yourself, you know, where you tend to be and work on that own balance within yourself so that you can then be a clear slate to be this sensing device to know what might be going on with your client.
Yeah. What I always tell my students, I said, you continually do a body scan. Continually do a body scan. And as you get better at it, you'll get better at really starting to, because your body is really what's going to tell you, not your mind, how you might be able to help that person. That's the limbic stuff, see? Your body is going to, and then you always ask it, of course, you know this, Jen, because you do too. You always ask it in a question. You don't make it a statement. But you say, oh, I'm just kind of curious.
Right.
Now, are you balanced?
So we're actually, yeah, right. We're using our body as a sensing device to wonder what might be going on for the client and just asking it in the form of a question. And I love this idea of reminding ourselves to just continually being in that state of receptivity as the body scanning to talk to me a little bit about how that's happening from the resonance viewpoint, like why that works. Because you keep mentioning the limbic stuff we talked about last year. What is it you think that's happening that allows that to actually occur?
Well, since all of us as mammals are limbic beings, we don't really use the language to connect. We use our bodies to connect. And that's why, of course, the horses are so powerful, because they're limbic masters. So what we're doing is we actually are becoming more horse-like. You know, it's the nuance of the, you know, the horse's ear popping up or the tail switching. You know, we don't show those as much, but that's really what we're doing, is we're using our own bodies to make that connection. That's why when somebody comes into your space and they say, I don't know what it is, Jen, but there's just something about you that just makes me feel like talking about things, or I feel safe, or I feel like I could trust you. What they're doing is they're feeling your heart space, what I call, you know, they're holding the sacred space of possibility.
Right.
And if I get too much into my own agenda, like I get into my head and I think it's got to be done, or I'll get into my get it done, my impatience piece, then I need to know that. I need to know what happens when I do that. And I know I do it because I'm one of these people that, you know, get things done, okay? But I need to know how to get myself back into balance. And when I can be back into balance, my body is more open, and I can also support the client because I'm resonating with them. And I don't know whether that answered what you asked me.
No, that's great, but it really is reminding me that this is just such a powerful concept for facilitators to use as the self-growth tool, to constantly be tuning in and noticing, yeah, where are we going and what are we are there ways we're blocking the process, like you said, by getting in our head or wanting to be in our power and making something happen, and constantly inviting ourselves back into the alignment so that we can be the most service to our clients. So I think that's just, it's so powerful. And I imagine that's part of what you do in your training program, your apprenticeship program, is work with the facilitators about this.
Yeah, the mentorship program actually has an outline that they have to follow, because I do it on the phone or through the internet mostly. So if people live close to me, then I get to work with their horses or do it here. But when I work with them, I have them actually do this check-in to see what's going on with themselves all the time before they're working, in the middle of when they're working, and at the end, because I think it's really important for us to know. As a matter of fact, the other day I was thinking, I'd like to write something called Check Your Ego at the Barn Door. Because I think that what happens is, if we're not aware of what we want to have happen, and of course that's also a very good thing. I mean, you know, I've talked about that before, where people really have this desire for someone to have a great outcome, but they're still putting their intention or their heart, that's what I talked about before last year, I said, put your heart in your feet. Because their intention or their heart is affecting what's going on. So they need to stay in a clean slate when they're working with somebody, open, and to be aware of what's going on within themselves so that they are supporting, not affecting, by putting in their own ideas.
Right. I love that. And that's an ongoing process. It can take a lifetime to really perfect. Not that it needs to be perfect, but to just always be aware of coming back to that balance. So thank you for that reminder. Well, as like, that's the key for effective facilitation.
It's the cleanliness of yourself. You know what I mean by that clean slate. But it's also a clean slate with an open heart. It's not like a blank heart. It's an open heart.
Right.
And also, it's that old concept, you know, that you know yourself. Today, before our call, I pulled a card. Just to sort of get myself centered before a call. And it was from the Book of Awakening. There's a set of cards now that they just put out. And you know what the card says? Be yourself.
Which one?
It says be yourself.
Very nice.
So I went, oh, okay, I can do that.
That's the thing. Once we've gotten good at really internalizing this balance, and it's kind of our natural state, then we just show up and be ourselves, and that's where we are our most powerful, right? But sometimes there's a little bit of work to get to so that that balance is our natural state, the state that we just sort of routinely come back to, right? That's our own work as a facilitator.
Well, it is, and the thing is that no matter how long, you know, like I've been a therapist for a long time, no matter how long I've done it, before I had this call today, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be nervous or, oh my gosh, am I going to say the right thing or all of that. Those things all get involved. But if I remember just to come back into balance with myself and know that, like today, you and I are in this relationship together. We're on this call together. That if I'm myself and you yourself, then maybe some of the things we're saying might help some other people to understand that that's the key. That's why Daniel Siegel calls it that sense of feeling self, which, you know, I love that.
Say that again. What's his phrase?
It's Daniel Siegel has written a lot of work, and his last name is Siegel. And this is from a book called Mindsight. But he talks about what makes it, and he's talking about therapists in this particular book. And somebody asked him a question about what makes a good therapist. And he said, a therapist helps someone to feel felt.
Oh, to feel felt. Yeah, exactly. Feeling felt and being seen. And if you're not clear, if your slate isn't clear, it's hard to help your client feel felt, right?
Right. And really, when I go, let's go right back to that story I said about 20 years ago. I really couldn't believe it was 20 years until I started to think about when it was. And I went, oh my gosh, it was 20 years ago. My girls, by the way, are doing wonderfully now. But 20 years ago, there was, you know, they were teenagers. But what happened was that horse felt me and I felt her.
I was going to say, that's what creates the resonance, right? When you take that moment.
Right, but I didn't have the words then. I didn't know that. But that's what was happening.
Right. You're creating that resonance by taking the moment to feel the other person. They feel felt. They offer it back to you. And then you've created this unit, almost a unified energy field where you can move forward together.
Yeah. And then, of course, just like I did, and when we're working with somebody who wants to learn how to do some of the things with the horses, then I learned how to work with a horse and in an active round pen situation, where to stand, where to put my hands, you know, how to put my energy in there, how to visualize what I wanted. I learned that. But the other piece, I didn't have to learn because it was already who I was.
Right, which is a blessing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was interested. I was interested in this horse. I was interested in her story. Okay? And I was interested in I mean, this was so early on, 20 years ago, we didn't really even have a name for this field.
Right, and it's a blessing for therapy. You know, many therapists and many of the people that do the work, we sort of are already naturally gifted or we have the inclination to offer that feeling felt. But many of our clients, or maybe in the corporate world, or, you know, they that might not be their natural go-to place, and then part of the work is helping them find that relationship so that they can offer it to themselves and to another being, right?
Right. Because, like I said, any successful leader knows that if the people feel like you really care about them and you're interested in them, they're going to generate more. They're going to want to do a job more.
There's really no way that be not that there's no way that not be I've got my double negatives. There's no way that if you're in that balance that it's not going to help you whatever you're doing, right?
Yes. And again, being in the balance. So if I'm so heart-centered that I don't have any, you know, sort of push like, okay, we have a deadline, well, that's not going to help either. Way before I ever did this work with the horses, I was the director of marketing at Sierra Tucson, which is a treatment center. I had 32 employees, and I had to motivate these employees. These were a lot of them, they were called intake counselors, to talk to people on the phone that were in a lot of pain, to also get these people to commit to coming into treatment. Well, every day when I went to greet my staff, the first thing I did was I walked to each one of their offices and I offered a hug every morning and I asked them how they were. And I know people used to say, what are you doing? I'm going, I'm letting them know I care about who they are. And I felt, you know, later on, as I started thinking about it, I think that that was just my natural leadership style.
Sure.
Anybody that ever worked for me knows there wasn't going to be any time that I wasn't going to be clear that I didn't think if they weren't performing at what I thought they should do, they heard about that too.
Right. It really is about having the open heart and then having all of the other things active too. Otherwise, then people don't take you seriously if you're only the heart but don't have the power or the intention.
Right. You have to have a clear vision, you know.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I wonder if we might play with those three things now. I think you're going to lead us through our own experience and our imagination about what it might feel like to do this leading exercise and feel what it's like to be in each of our centers and then be aligned. So, yeah, why don't we do that now?
Okay, Jen. So I'm speaking with you, so I'm going to start with you or with the whole audience. What I'd like people to do is just to close their eyes for a minute and just scan their body to see where they are. Just take a couple of deep breaths. And just notice any areas of their body that might be calling any particular attention to them. They don't need to do anything, but just notice, pay attention to that area of their body. Actually, ask that area of their body. Tell them they're going to come back to that after this exercise. But ask that area of the body just to be available today. And what I'd like you to do with your eyes closed is just to visualize something that you would like to get done. And get it done involving another person in your life. Your children, your spouse, your coworkers. There's a job that needs to get done. So once you imagine that, then what I'd like you to do is to go into your head and imagine getting that done. So visualize what you want to get done, what it looks like, what the process might be, but stay only in your head. Just picture it. If you start to feel yourself going in a different part of your body, go back to your head. So just everything that you can be thinking about, writing down, looking at, keep it in your head. Get a vision. Get a thought. Get a plan. And imagine walking around the room with that plan. Maybe even imagine talking to somebody about what you want to have happen with that plan. Now, Jen, since you're the one that's on the phone call, were you able to do that?
Yeah, it gives me a real headache.
Okay. All right. So let's just change state a little bit here. Okay. So now what you're going to do is you're going to go into your heart area, which for you is going to be fairly easy. Anyone that knows your voice knows that's pretty. That's Jen. So go into your heart area. And what I'd like you to do is imagine that it's the same job. You don't change the whatever you want to get done. Okay, it's the same. Being in your heart, being in your heart center, and feeling how you feel about this project, and maybe talking to the person that you imagining that you're trying to engage in a very loving way, being in your heart, and just being in that heart space. Not giving them any idea about how to get it done, but just being in the heart space. And walk around. And it might help just to even get your body moving a little bit. Walk around the room. Just being in the heart space. And then come back. And how was that?
Oh, I feel so much lighter and more open and more inspiring.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're changing state again. So what I want you to imagine, and this is, go below your belly button into that action-oriented place, getting a job done, and feel that power in your legs, in the lower part of your body. Same goal, same job, whatever it is that you've imagined. And very purposely, walk around the room, just there. I need to get this done now. And then come back. How does that feel?
For me, that has like a pushing power, and it feels like it creates conflict between me and between me and the other person, which feels like it creates resistance from the other.
Okay. Now, see, we're doing this here, but this is, you can imagine if you're doing it with a horse, it's going to take more time, but I just want you to get an idea what it's like. Okay, so now
sure.
The good news is, you're going to have to close your eyes again. With the same goal or job that you want to get done in mind. And I want you to visualize it and see it and be clear about the steps that might take to get it done. I want you to feel the connection with the other person and feel that heart connection. And I want you to be able to feel the power that it might take to get it done. But I want you to stay in balance in all three of those centers. And I would suggest again that you get up and walk around the room in all three centers, balanced. If you feel that one center has more of emphasis than the others, take it and balance it. And walk around and see if it feels any different in your body. And Jen, can you tell me how that felt?
It's a little bit harder because the focus is not in one place, but it feels like what's created is the possibility for like an empowered partnership. That's the way it feels, and that feels better than any of the other alone by themselves.
Yeah, and if I was doing this with somebody, and let's say we were utilizing our partner, the horse, I would have them take more time with this and play around with it, and to maybe just be a little bit looser. We might even take the horse off the lunch line if we have the time, and just see how that feels. And you can see how this can give someone an opportunity to really know that it is difficult when you're trying to get a job done to stay balanced in all three centers.
Yeah, and what I love about this is that even just a little bit of exercise you just showed us, it showed to me really easily like what happens to myself when I go to those places. And I see how I don't necessarily like that, or I could see how that's not all that helpful. And then it encourages me to want to find that balance. And it does seem like taking it then to the active round pen, you can really play with.
Yeah, I think you really
that
can.
Balance. Mm-hmm. And how do you, when you say, you know, you invited me to, you know, if you notice that one or the other is out of balance, bring some more balance into it. How do you encourage people to do that? Is it an energy thing? Do they find it on their own? How do you play with that?
Well, I usually try not to say very much at first because I don't really know I'm watching. But
sure.
Like if I can just say, use you as an example, you're very heart-centered, but you're also really ambitious in that you're getting these big things going, right? So I know you have
a
power inside you to get things done. My sense is the reason you're successful is your heart first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at your website or anything you say, it's right there. So if you disconnect from your heart, you wouldn't be able to get anything done.
Right. Yeah. That'd be
funny. Right. And so I'm a little like you, too, because the head one's the hardest one for me. It's really hard for me just to be in my head and think about, you know, I mean, I'm very visual, but if I don't have my heart connected to something, my heart, you know, it's that old thing, my heart's not in it.
Right.
So you might find somebody that would be uncomfortable. You might see it, but mainly what I don't say a whole lot. Like that experience with Hugh, I didn't say anything to him. I mean, none of us did because that when he went in that second time, you didn't need to.
Right, they're able to experiment with the energy themselves and come up with a way that
yeah, they're working at that, and I've seen other people get in with the horses, and when I see that so beautiful is that they get into the dance, you know, they get into that sacred dance with the horse. And that's why I said what I'd like to do is when somebody has that experience, and if I have the time, it's not like a workshop where I have to take people through, you know, during an exercise during a certain amount of time, is I'll just have them take the horse off the lead line and see what happens. And the
right,
thing is,
by the way,
go ahead.
I was just going to say from a psychotherapy perspective, which I know is your background,
yes.
As you're trying to create this balance, you know, I noticed for me when we were in my Hara, you know, it was easy for me to notice where my resistance to being in my power was. And so it seems like you can play with this from a coaching perspective, but it could also bring up the underlying issues in each of these areas that want to be worked on so that you can find that balance. So
it opens up the whole thing. Yeah, it can be an assessment. And like I'll always tell people is, you know, if you're coming to this work as facilitator and you're a coach and you don't have the background in psychotherapy, make sure you know somebody that you can refer to, because this can bring up a lot for people. I mean, there could be a lot of pain that comes up. Like, I can never get anything done in my life. Well, this is what happens all the time in my life, you know. And there might be some things that come up because maybe somebody is really blocked in an area of getting it done because of trauma.
Exactly. So this is just a beautiful, it's a beautiful place to jump off from and help people find that place of balance, but you can also go deeper and really heal some core wounding around any of these issues.
Right.
The heart, the head, and the aura.
Yeah, and but if you're not trained, you got to be kind of careful where you take people, is what I'm saying, you know.
Sure,
so,
we have to know.
Yeah, but a lot of the people that I'm working with are playing around with it, and they're just coming back with these great stories. I have a million of them, but I'm not going to spend time talking about them now, about the things that they're doing with people and how it's really helping them to become more balanced and empowered. And
sure.
From that place of relationship.
Yeah. If you have one story in mind, I think we could finish up with that, about how using this exercise helped somebody tap into, say, one of these places and create a new possibility for them. Does one story come to mind that we could finish with?
Yeah, it does. And, I'm not going to use anyone's name or where I did this, okay? So I had to think for just a second. But, okay, it was an experience that I saw with somebody who really had a hard time kind of believing in herself and also had a difficult time connecting in relationship with other people. And she went in to do this exercise. It was more like an active exercise. And she went in to work with a horse that had the same regimen. It was a horse that didn't connect very much and was a little bit more reticent, sort of stood back from the rest of the herd, was a newer member of the herd. So she went in there, and what she did was you could feel her taking the time to just be with that horse. And she went in there, and she was very calm within herself, and later on she described that she was doing some struggling. But you didn't see that at first. What you saw was her going in and really taking the time to connect to that horse and just wait. And she waited for the horse to give that indication that the horse might come towards her. And she waited and waited. And it was a fairly long period of time. When she started to walk towards the horse, and the horse felt that this woman had given her the space and the time and the respect that the horse needed, that space, then you started to see them come together. And they came together in a way that those of us that were on the outside watching were just almost mesmerized. Why? Because what happened was they came together as you could feel them uniting as one being. And they started to move around the round pen, and they were doing a dance. It was very smooth. And then the woman started to move around the round pen with the horse. And as they started to trust each other more, you could see the footfalls being the same. And then you started to see the woman starting to run. She was running, and she started to laugh. And the horse was with her. They were flowing around the round pen. It was one of the most beautiful dances I've ever seen. But this woman needed to know, and she needed to find that place in herself to find that joy again. She hadn't felt it for a long, long time. And the horse had, she didn't know that much about the horse, but the horse had some of the same wounds that she did. She had a really deep loss. Because she had a really deep loss, she was reticent to be connected again, to love that way. So by the end of that, what you saw was the horse change and the woman change. And that was beautiful. It was a beautiful example of this, of the time it takes and the woman taking time within herself, watching the horse and being in balance. And by the end of that, we were all crying because it was this beautiful dance, the sacred dance of love and joy. She couldn't have found it anywhere else. She came out, her face was radiant.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's really inspiring. The attention to this balance, creating this balance, inviting people to find that balance and that openness to each part of themselves, and how we can co-create that with another human and then have it be filled with laughter and joy. That would be the ultimate goal, wouldn't it? That we could be in action, and keep the relationship in motion towards the goal and do it do it laughing and joyful all the way for both partners. And so thank you so much for providing this wonderful conceptual framework and activity to invite people to create that for themselves and their clients. Kathleen, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Jen, and I hope it was helpful. And the first time I ever did this thing without, you know, having a horse with me. So I'm also going to thank all the horses that I was imagining and seeing in my mind's eye as I was doing this.
They're always close by, and
right.
I would right. Actually, they're right out my window right now. Just two of them have walked right over. So.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Yeah. And this year, I want to let everyone know, we'd love to hear from you about this topic here and how you, if you want to start playing with it for yourself or your clients, how you've seen it play out. You know, what do you think? We'd love to hear from you. And so this year, if you have questions or comments or aspects you'd like to discuss, or if you play with it, what your experience has been, you can head on over to our LinkedIn group and join the discussion on Kathleen's session, and we can support each other in finding this balance and discovering some excitement about this. So I'll put the link on the website. And if you think this just sounds so juicy like I do, I want to let everyone know that we're just really blessed to have Kathleen with us for the symposium this year in May outside of Denver, and she's going to be doing a one-day workshop on this exact topic, as well as leading a demonstration session during the weekend so that we can all see what this looks like in person. And so, Kathleen, is there anything you'd like to add about the one-day session and what people could expect if they came to play with us in person?
No, I'm really excited about it, and I'm working with this so much. I'm in process all the time with it, so I have a feeling that I'll learn more things as I work with more horses and more people before I come and join you in May. And I think I told you my undergraduate degree in psychology is from University of Colorado, so I'm excited about going back to my home turf, so to speak.
Wonderful, yeah. And during the one day, I imagine the people will get to experience it for themselves, but will we also be focused on it as from a facilitation perspective?
Yes. What I'll be doing is a lot of things we talked just briefly about is I'll be taking people deeper into that. And I'll have some handouts that will help people to learn how to facilitate this, as well as what to pay attention to within themselves as they're doing this work so the best possible outcome can be for the horse and the person to have the experience that I just described that lady had. That experience
exactly.
was because she was being held in that sacred space. And again, just like everything, we all experienced it with her.
Right, we all get something from it. So this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for people to come out and play with one of the founding influencers in our field, Ms. Kathleen. And so I just want to extend an invitation to everyone to join us live, because what we're going to do is create just a beautiful group of like-hearted facilitators from all over the U.S. and the U.K. and Canada and Australia. And it's an extremely empowering and very experiential weekend. Last year was our first gathering, and we completely sold out, so I think this year is going to be even more power-packed with all of the wonderful facilitators that we have coming. And I do want to let people know that we have a very special optional third day to the symposium this year, which is specifically about the spiritual and energetic aspects of healing with horses. So if you like to partner with horses on that deeper level, we have one day just for you guys. So I invite you all to come out and play with us. We have so much fun together, and there is more info on the website, healingwithhorse.com. And Ms. Kathleen, is there anything else that you're doing that you want to let people know about this year? I know that you're also going to Australia for a conference there as well, right?
Yes, it's the first equine psychotherapy conference in Australia with Megan Kirby and her herd. And I've been asked to go and deliver the keynote address, and then I'm doing a post one-day workshop there. I'm very excited. I've never been to Australia. I'm going there in March, and it'll be an opportunity to introduce the work from the way I teach it in Australia. So I'm very excited about that. I'll be doing that for ICU and also going back to the UK to do a workshop with Suntui and watch the graduates from the class. Hugh was in that class, graduate from the training program. And I have a workshop scheduled in Arizona. And then my mentorship program, which you can find more about by looking at my website. And that's one thing I love to do. I work with people individually in a mentorship program to help them learn more about this work.
Great. It's a very, yeah, accessible way to get some training in concepts like this. And so we also, by the way, do have Megan Kirby contributing to the Telesummit this year from Australia. So we'll get to learn more from her later on. So before we sign off, I would like to let everyone know that if you enjoyed today's session, the whole series of 15 sessions of the 2014 Healing with Horse Telesummit is going to be available for purchase and download at healingwithhorse.com, so you can listen and learn anytime, anywhere. So I guess that's about it for right now. Kathleen, thank you so much. I cannot wait to meet you in person and have these experiences alongside of you with a whole group of just heartfelt facilitators from all over the world. So I cannot wait till May. Thank you so much for spending your time with us here today.
Thank you so much, Jen, and many blessings and much love as you're doing this big undertaking. And I just hope you have lots of grace as you're going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, until next time, everyone, may the heart of Horus be with you. Bye for now.